Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Hope you all are doing well today. I've been thinking about all of you, and I've really, really been looking forward to our session together today. I'm so, so happy and so excited for this call. We've got we're here for our deep listening skills practicum. So this is our first practicum together. And the practicums are some of my favorite calls because they're very powerful opportunities to go even deeper with the concepts that we've been learning so far. In this case, to go even deeper with everything that we've been learning around listening skills. So let me tell you how the call today is going to work. We'll probably have time for two different volunteer clients, so kind of two different sessions. They're not real sessions, but what's going to happen is I'll ask someone to volunteer and to just share a little bit about a situation that you're having right now, you know, something that you might bring to a coaching call, something that you need support with, something like that. Something that's not strategy-based, right? Not like I need help, you know, plotting out my next launch for my program. But, you know, it's something, it can have some strategy involved, but not just, you know, we're not looking for peer consulting here. So I'm going to call on a volunteer. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions about your situation. I'm going to try my best while I'm asking questions not to coach the volunteer client, but to really just ask some questions so that the volunteer client speaks enough that we get lots of good information from the client, that lots of things come through so that we can really practice our listening skills and note what it is that we're really hearing from this client. And then once I'm done with that, I'm going to open it up to all of you, to the circle, and we'll kind of get into conversation about what you've heard, what you're hearing, you know, all the things, and I'll give feedback as well as you share what it is that you're hearing and listening. So that means that I'm going to be doing way less talking than usual on today's call, and that you're going to be doing a lot of the talking and the sharing today. What that also means is that the more that you're willing to raise your hand and participate and bring your ideas and your brilliance forward, then the more valuable this call is going to be. Really, the learning and the integration is in all of your shares. You're going to learn from each other so much. So you're going to just learn from the experience of this practicum, but you'll learn so much from each other. It's really a great opportunity to go deeper with your listening skills and to integrate more deeply your listening skills. So all that being said, I want to let you guys know that I have a post in the Facebook group from today. It's entitled "So Excited to See You at 3 p.m. And we can use that, you know, hopefully I'll hear a lot of shares from you, from your voice on this call, but we can also use that post to just post different thoughts, awarenesses, ideas, revelations that come through as we go through the call today. And we can start with this. First, I just want you to take a moment with this question. What have you been noticing for yourself the last few weeks when it comes to listening, your listening skills, what you're hearing and listening, and also energetics, you know, back to our first call? So take a moment on that for yourself, and then you can also post it in that thread in the Facebook group. What have you been noticing? You know, whether you've been working with clients or just in your regular conversations, what have you been noticing? What have you been more aware of? What have you been seeing? Or what celebrations are happening based on listening skills, and your energetics? It's always good, and this is a coaching principle too, as you guys probably know, it's always good to assess and take note of what's evolving, what we're learning, what's going really well, what we want to celebrate. I'll give you guys another 30 seconds with that. What have you been noticing? And it may not be something new. It might just be something that is integrating more deeply. Oh, somebody's raised their hand. Who is this? 2361.
It's me. I misunderstood. I thought you wanted us to raise our hand.
Oh, but you can. That's great.
It down.
Who is it?
This is Kristen.
Hey, Kristen. Yeah, why don't you share? What have you been noticing? Wait, you took yourself off mute.
When they're talking?
Oh, go ahead. I didn't hear you for a second there.
Oh, a lot of my clients deal with a lot of shame when they're talking, mm-hmm. and I hear a lot of, like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, but it's not necessarily, like, you talked in one of your lessons that, like, how energized are they about what they're, you know, talking about? And a lot of times I feel it can be, like, it's a lot of, it's a chore, you know, for a lot of people, and not necessarily an excitement.
Yeah.
They feel like they should be doing better. They see where they want to be, but they're just not quite there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad that you're hearing that and picking up on it, right? Like, it's not enough just for somebody to be talking about something. Are they excited about it? How do they feel about it? What's their energy as they're speaking about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's such an important piece of the puzzle and so important for us as practitioners to be able to pick up on. Awesome.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's such a filter there too. Like in the beginning, like for me, I noticed the filter. In the beginning, they're super excited in a positive way. But then like at about a year or 2 years after having weight loss surgery, like it becomes that more of that dread. And that's what I've noticed generally. And so now I feel like I have that filter, like you talked about in the first lesson, that's where that person's at, but that may not be correct. That's what I have to
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. And I can just feel from what you're sharing that puts you in an even better position to really support them in continuing their journey, just in being able to see all of what you're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that's a great example, actually, of the type of thing that we want to be listening for in the practicum today, right? Is like not just what the volunteer client is saying, but what's their energy? Is there a match or a mismatch in the energy of between what they're saying and the energy of what they're saying? I'll just review a couple of things. We've looked at so many, but I just want to review some of the things that some of the skills and the pieces that you want to be thinking about and listening for as we go into our listening practice, right? So number one, remember a foundational principle is that all people want to feel seen, heard, and loved, right? So as you listen to see, hear, and love the client. Listen for the things that will help you see, hear, and love the client. Be present in every moment. Listen to your client as well as to yourself, right? So what are you hearing? And then what are the hunches or the inner wisdom or the intuition based on what you're hearing? Be curious. Listen for the who, not just the what. Remember, big principle, sacred depths, coach the what based on the who. So don't just listen for the what of the situation, but who is this person? Who is this person in general, and who is this person today as they come to the session? Be aware of your filters and your biases. Be aware of the client's emotional state. Be aware of the client's engagement with what they're talking about. Notice silence, pacing, tone, how connected the client feels in the moment. Notice what's motivating the client. Listen for specific language and terms that the client uses. Listen for the client's strengths and resources. Listen for obstacles or potential obstacles. Listen for beliefs. Listen for celebrations. Listen for if something has shifted for the client from, you know, the past to now. That's a little harder since you're going to just get to know the client that comes on, but still, that might come up. Listen for who's influencing the client. Listen for if something seems misplaced with the rest of the conversation or what the client isn't saying. If the client repeats anything, listen for what the client is becoming aware of or what the client is scared of. Listen for connections and patterns. We want to be able to create awareness on those. We need to be able to listen for them first. Okay, so with all that said, you know, that's just a quick rundown. One last question before we get into it. I want you to think about where you are at with your listening skills and what your edge is when it comes to listening skills. So where is your edge? Where is your stretch? Where is the next place that you would really like to go in your listening skills? Are you really great at listening for details, but your edge is to listen for emotional state? Are you really great at hearing one and two layers beneath the surface, but you know that there's more depths that you want to be listening for? Are you really good at hearing and listening fears, but maybe your next stretch place, your next edge is listening for connections and patterns, right? So what is it, what's your listening edge? What is it that you would really like to receive from our practicum today? What, I guess that's two separate questions that are related. Number one, what's your edge when it comes to listening? And then number two, what is it that you would like to receive from our practicum today? Take a moment with those questions, and if you want to also share those in the thread, in the Facebook group, please do. Give you another half minute with that. So what's your edge when it comes to listening? And what is it that you really want to receive today from this practicum? All right. And again, please share it in the Facebook group if you can. I see some people have been sharing on that thread. I can't wait to, I'm quickly reading, but I can't wait to go back and read more of those. Some really great stuff there. Okay. So all that being said, we need our first volunteer. So please raise your hand, star two. Who's willing to be courageous and come forward as our volunteer client to share with us a current situation that you would like support on? So star two, who'd like to come forward? Awesome. We've got a volunteer. I think this might be Kristen again. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me again.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much for being willing to volunteer.
My pleasure. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity.
Yeah. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. So, as I said, I'm going to try not to coach you. I'm really just going to ask some questions so that I can draw information out for you, for us to be able to practice our listening. So just share with us, Kristen, what's the current situation that's going on for you that you'd really like support on?
I have a client that she's undergone weight loss surgery, and she's now gained weight since having the surgery. And I hear a lot about her and her mom's relationship, and how her mom always put her on diets when she was younger, and like her mom is like her biggest supporter, but then also like her biggest critic at the same time. And it's just a territory that I'm not very comfortable with, because I obviously, like, I want to help kind of shed some light to that, but do it in a compassionate way at the same time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And not really sure, like, because I am a dietitian, so I usually focus on the nutrition part of things, but I also feel like there's a piece there that's important to, like, recognize. Is that sort of the question you were looking for?
Yeah. No, that sounds great. I'm going to ask a bit more.
Okay.
This is great. I'm going to bring some more out. So it's like you would be bringing this issue to a coaching situation, right? Like that you want to shed more light, that you want to do it in a passionate way. Speak a little bit more about, I can hear that there may be some fears in there or some thoughts. Like give us some more context about you as a practitioner, and then some of the fears that are coming up around it.
Yeah, a lot of the fears that are coming up around it is that I'm not capable of like supporting them. Like I feel like I hear a lot of things, and I feel like I'm decent at like listening to my client, but I feel kind of paralyzed on like what direction to take after they talk. Mm-hmm. And then I'm listening and I'm trying, like, then I try to apply, like, the concept that you were even talking about. And then I notice that I'm not listening because I'm trying so hard to listen. But for the most part, I feel that I do listen and I can understand the different currents, but I feel paralyzed on, like, what to do with the next step. And almost overwhelmed of all the different directions that I could take. Is that what you're...
Yeah, I'm going to just keep on asking more questions. It's great to just draw out more information for us to get. So speak a little bit more about what happens when you get overwhelmed. Tell us a little bit more about overwhelmed, what happens, the impact of it.
There's a couple different routes I take. One, depending on what happens that day. One is I just get caught up in just asking questions, and I feel like all I'm doing is going down the question lane instead of providing support, because I get nervous that I'm going to provide the wrong support. Or I maybe dive into one area and then realize maybe that's not the direction I should have gone. Or on a great day, I might have chosen the right path. To educate them on. But there's just such an emotional component to food that I feel like I need to get all that information. But then I feel like maybe I didn't provide them. I get insecure that I didn't provide them with what they were actually looking for, which was nutrition education. So I think that's my insecure part, is am I giving them what they need? Because they looked for me for just nutrition, but then they realized during our sessions that there's this whole other component.
Yeah, got it. Okay, I'm trying very hard. My instinct is always to want to like reflect back and create awareness, and although I'm trying very hard to do that just to get some more information from you. So if I just say yeah, it's not that I'm not acknowledging you, just for the sake of this exercise.
This is my first practicum. I wasn't sure what we were expecting.
No, this is great. I'm just saying that's why I'm not acknowledging or, that kind of thing. And I'm just going to jump around to different questions.
Okay. Sounds good.
Talk to us a little bit about the desire to want to shed light in a compassionate way.
I feel like that's really my goal. You know, that's where my, what I want to do. It just goes back to like that insecure factor. And I want them to be able to, I guess my goal with that, when to shed light on that is to create like that breakthrough. And then I'm almost scared of them to fully have that breakthrough because I don't know how to support them in that transformational side. Which is one of the reasons why I took this course is I feel like, okay, yeah, I can maybe shed light on that, but then now what, you know? Now I'm referring you to someone else because I don't feel competent enough to continue on that path.
Yeah. Yeah, so it feels almost like a little bit of a cycle that you're setting up for yourself where you very deeply want to shed light, very deeply want to create a breakthrough, very deeply want to support not just with the nutrition education, but really on the emotional pieces that will just make the nutrition education so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like you get to that place and you get overwhelmed. You worry that that's not why they came to you. You get scared
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to be able to handle it. All of the above.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I try to be, I'm like the positive person. Like it's definitely my personality type of like the cheerleader. And I get worried that I'm being too much of a cheerleader and like not enough of like a support. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
My goal is
speak a little
doing
bit
great, wonderful. Well, I just, even with my friends or family or my kids, like I always just try to focus on like what they're doing well, because I have a hard time bringing to light what they're not doing well, because I've just noticed in my own life, like I'm encouraged by my own behavior. If someone telling me I'm doing good, then I want to continue doing that behavior. But then I also feel like I'm neglecting, being a true coach or true, you know, a practitioner by also bringing to light some areas that they need to improve upon. Like I try to do the questioning to get them there themselves. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think that's probably just because of my lack of, just practice. I just need to continue to work on those skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I hate being a negative person.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that. Yeah.
Because they're not going to like me. That goes back to those things we talked about in the first week.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about that.
I'm always looking for like that approval. Like I'm that person that'll reach out like in between, you know, sessions and how are you doing and checking in. And like, honestly, like deep down, I really want them to be like, I'm doing great. I love our sessions together. So I can get that affirmation that I'm doing good. Because I always worry that like, I'm not just doing enough. For them to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to have that, that feedback, which
yeah.
isn't, you know, I know that's like not the healthy part of the relationship, but I definitely notice that in myself always.
Right. And something that we all want in one way or another. Right.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
How does this that you're talking about right now, people aren't going to like me, I may not be enough. How does that relate to other areas in your life, not just your business or your client work?
Anytime I meet someone, I feel like I just want them to, like, I'm always trying to be positive, like, not necessarily positive in the happy sense, but just want them to like me. So I feel like I try to mirror, like, I notice right off the bat things they like, things they don't like. And then if I notice they like something, I'll talk more about that. I definitely filter the stories I tell people based upon, like, what I know about them. My parents were divorced. And so I know what parent, like, listens to, like, what stories, you know, and which ones to hide from the other parents. and going back to that supporting, you know, like, oh, they're going to like this. They're going to, you know, think that I'm, I don't know. Yeah, they'll just like the story. So I'll just tell them this story. So I tend to filter my information on based upon who my audience is and what I share.
And sounds like that's worked for you for a lot of reasons. I'm wondering about
survival skill, right? 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. How is it not working for you as well as maybe it used to? How's it holding you back?
Sometimes it makes me feel like I'm not, well, when I'm with that person, I feel like I am being authentic and I am being real. What happens is when I get into groups of like different relationships I've created with different people, then sometimes I can become self-conscious because I feel like I've, you know, this person may have this image of me this way. This person may have this image of me that way. Not that I'm that drastically different, but I think overall, you know, I'm the same, but I can just bring up, that question of like, who am I? Like, what do I really believe in? You know, and it's definitely a journey I've been on before taking this course, recognizing that in myself and just always trying to work towards, you know, being true to myself because it can create a lot of anxiety when you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I think we've got a lot of information here. I'm going to ask one more question. And again, it's random. I'm jumping around a little bit. If this were a coaching session, what would you want to receive by the end of it?
This was a coaching session. What would I want to receive? Gosh, as far as I guess like direction, like going forward and how to work with clients that are going on different tangents or have a lot of different emotional things going on, like what areas. Direction on how to help focus on one, like should I just focus on one for that session or should I and then talk about more the next session without overwhelming? How do I stay on target with nutrition?
Yep, great. And if there was, just from what we ended up talking about here, if there was like a personal thing here that you really wanted for yourself, not like a professional skill, what would the personal thing be?
Confidence in myself, like just being comfortable with who I am as a person and caring less about what the world or what, you know, my husband or my dad or my mom, you know, think of me necessarily. Of course, I want to be compassionate towards them as well, but just be like, it's okay to be my own person. Like, it's okay to have my own views and opinions.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. You did really well. Thank you so much for being our first guinea pig.
Thank you. I had no idea what was going to happen.
No, it was awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so I think Kristen gave us a lot of great material to work with. So everybody take a moment. And Kristen, you can participate in this too. First, I'm just going to ask you guys some questions to make some notes, and then I'm going to take some shares. So number one, what are the like 5 to 10 most important things that you heard from Kristen? What are the 5 to 10 most important things that you heard? Guys, another moment with that. What are the 5 to 10 most important things that you heard? All right. So let's hear. What are some things, as you were using your listening skills, that you really heard from Kristen? Start to raise your hand. Don't be shy. I will give feedback as each person shares. This isn't about, you know, being right or wrong. This is really for everybody's learning. And please, like, don't be shy. Let us know what you're thinking, what you are hearing. Okay, who is this? 0668.
It's Autumn. Hey.
Hey, Autumn.
So, Kristen said so much. Do you want me to just say one thing or what?
I forgot to say that. Let's do one thing at a time, and I'll go through all the raised hands, and then people can re-raise hands again. Why don't you share one thing for now?
What I was wondering is, she seems very uncomfortable with other people's quote-unquote negative emotions, their heavy ones, their loud ones. I was wondering also if she was uncomfortable with her own, and maybe owning that part of her could help her build that confidence.
Yeah, beautiful. So what you're sharing is like what you've heard and also leaning into creating awareness, which is great. That's our next module. So you're going in the exact right direction. But absolutely. So it was clear because Kristen said, you know, point blank that, or she maybe didn't actually say point blank. She was uncomfortable with other people's negativity. She actually said, I hate being a negative person. So it's great, Autumn, what you're sharing. Number one, like what we can hear from that, and I heard it too, is there's a discomfort with negativity. And then is there a layer underneath that of, so is it just with other people's negativity or with herself? And she actually did say, I hate being a negative person. So absolutely, you know, to draw the conclusion like that there is a discomfort with her own negativity. Beautiful. Thank you. All right, let's see. Who is this? You're calling from the web, so it doesn't have your name, but it says Dover, New Hampshire. I've taken you off mute. Are you there? From Dover, New Hampshire? Nope. Okay, I'll come back to you. This is, also your name isn't coming up from Portland, 8856.
Oh, it's Tel.
Hey, Tel.
Hey.
Great to hear your voice. What did you hear?
So I think that I'll just go down my list, and I think the second thing that I heard was around feeling paralyzed. Like, I know that you touched on the overwhelm piece, but the feeling paralyzed, like that inability to move or act, that was a big piece for me.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I heard that too. And what you're sharing is a really great example. We'll get to this more in creating awareness, but I'll start talking about it now. Kristen didn't use the word paralyzed, but from what she but this is good. This is what the point I want to make. From what she described about what happens with her actions when she gets overwhelmed, paralysis is one of the things, and it can be incredibly valuable for a practitioner to bring a new language, a new word, a new phrase in to create awareness based on what we've heard. So that's beautiful and very well done.
That's really funny. I really heard that. Okay.
I might be wrong. Maybe she did use paralysis, but I'm pretty sure she didn't.
Okay.
So that's great. Okay. These are wonderful. Let's hear some more. There's another web user from the UK. I've taken you off mute. Oh, I hope we'll be able to hear our web users. I've taken you off mute. You should be able to speak from the UK. not from Hereford, UK. That's another person calling in from the web, but this one just says UK. Are you there? Oh, no. I hope this isn't. All right, let me try another one. I'll come back to you. Penny.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, in terms of, the overwhelmed, what I saw was a certain pattern that when she's listening to clients and she's doing the nutritional counseling and stuff, she hears the emotional issues and she knows how important they are, but then she feels insecure about her ability to address those or know which direction to go in. Then she gets overwhelmed and then she starts getting confused and feeling like she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, there's a
and
whole
like
cycle,
a whole,
like patterning
there's
cycle.
A whole sequence of pattern, yeah.
Yes.
That she sort of went through that cycle several times, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll add to that, what I heard is that it's almost like each time that happens and each time she goes through the cycle, it becomes even more alarming in a way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of eating on itself or feeding on itself, I should say.
Right, and then it makes her feel incompetent in some way because she's, you know, even commented at some point, and then I'm going to have to tell them to go talk to somebody else about this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Yes. Yeah, and that's another piece in there. I heard a deep fear of being incompetent, a very deep fear of being incompetent, and
yes,
one that really holds Kristen back from being as bold as she can be or just, like, showing up with her full power, of which she clearly has a
mm-hmm.
lot of.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. All right, I'm going to try another web user here. I hope that can hear you. This one is from Hereford, I hope I'm saying that the right way, UK, calling in on the web. Can you speak?
Hi, it's Ali.
Oh, great. Hi, Ali. Okay, at least
Hi.
I know the web
hello.
Calling
oh,
is
hello.
Working.
You can,
okay, wonderful.
You can hear me. It looks to me like I'm still on mute, but you can hear me. Great. Penny's just covered the thing I was going to raise, but there's perhaps another one that I heard how deeply Kristen wants to bring in more compassion to her work, but she doesn't yet feel that all the skills are there to go as deeply into that compassion as she could. She knows how compassionate she feels, but she's not yet speaking it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this piece forward. That was one of the first things she said, and it's something that I noted also, that she said she wants to bring that compassion. She wants to shed light in a compassionate way. And I think this is a piece of what you're getting at, Ali, and you can tell me. And by the way, Kristen, I'm going to come back to you and see how you feel about all of these things that people are talking about you right now. But for me, what I really noted around the compassionate piece is that what a strength and a resource this is. Like, what an incredible person Kristen is. Here, you know, as someone, she got trained in nutrition education, and not to put that down at all, that's incredible, but that she so deeply wants to shed a light on what's going on for people under the surface and to do it with compassion. It says, so even if we didn't know Kristen at all, which most of us don't, just that one statement alone lets us know so much about who
yes.
Kristen is as a person and her heart deeply desiring to be compassionate.
Yes.
Is that
yes,
part
absolutely.
Of what you were getting at?
Yeah, that's really the piece that came for me is how much potential that has to help that client that she's currently stuck with.
Yeah.
You know, that compassion piece is probably one of the key missing pieces for that client in that situation. So, yeah, huge strength and, something, you know, I kind of really feel passionate about myself for Kristen,
yes.
you know, to be able to bring into her work.
Yes. Yeah. Good. And I'm going to add this piece because I think it will be helpful for everyone. So all of us here on this call, we probably want to bring compassion to our clients as well. that could be an unchecked filter for us when we're listening. We hear a client say this, and we're just like, yeah, of course, you know, compassion. Even that we want to check so that we can actually see that this is such a beautiful power resource. It says so much about who she is in her heart, because not everybody wants to bring compassion to a situation. Awesome. Thanks so much, Allie.
Thank you.
All right. Kate in New Hampshire. Or Kate, is it Katie? It's
Katie.
Okay, it just is.
Hi.
So I didn't know. Hey, Katie.
That's okay. Hi. I was also the Dover web number that wasn't able to get through.
Okay.
I know that there's a couple of us who I think are having a hard time with that.
Okay, I will check on the tech end of things after our call. Thank
you. No worries. So I was actually questioning myself as I wrote down one of the things that I wrote down. And it has to do with that wanting to bring compassion piece, but also because I work with nutrition as well. I felt like I heard a fear of sort of stepping out of the boundary of her work.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, like stepping outside. What I wrote was stepping outside of her certified zone of genius, like the thing that she actually has a paper for.
Yeah.
And I know, and so my question to myself was like, well, is that your filter that you're placing on top of her, or is that something that you're actually hearing?
We can go back and ask Kristen. I would say I think it's something that you're actually hearing, because she mentioned that she's insecure because people come to her for nutrition education.
Right.
So my guess would be yes to what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah. That's what I
heard. Awesome. Good. Thank you. There's another piece I want to say about the compassion piece, and this would be something that you would want to check. What I'm about to say, this is a piece that I heard around the compassion piece. It may not be accurate, right? And when we get to creating awareness, we'll talk about how to check in with clients on this. But the other thing is, for me, when someone says, you know, I want to make sure I do it in a compassionate way, one of the things I hear in that is I'm scared that I'm going to hurt my client. Does that make sense, you guys? Right? Because if there is a concern about being compassionate, chances are there's a fear that not only is she in over her head, which she said, but that she's actually going to do damage, that she's going to hurt the client. Again, these are important things for practitioners to hear. They may not be right, right? We want to check them out, but there might be some deeper patterning there to go into and ways to start to unwind that, if that is indeed the case. We want to be able to catch stuff like that. All right, who is this? Vancouver, BC, 2528.
That's Gloria.
Hey, Gloria.
Hi. So one of my thoughts was exactly what was just shared. So the other one that I wanted to bring up was what I heard around getting affirmation that she's doing good, that I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm. Talk more
and
about
how that.
That
shows up, what she had mentioned, you know, she reaches out in between sessions and, like, just really naming her looking for approval.
Yes. Yeah. So a couple things in there that I think you're saying, tell me if I'm getting it right. Number one, that a lot of times the actions are being driven by looking for approval, which in the end may not be what serves the client. And number two, there might be a lot of overworking in there because of that need for approval.
Yeah. And it also makes me think if or how that might be connected to the concern of being compassionate. And I love what you had just shared. I didn't make that connection about how there could be a fear that she's going to hurt. And so having that affirmation to know that she's doing good speaks to that, right? Or it confirms that, you know, that's not going to be the case. So that isn't the case.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. That's a great connection. Beautiful. Thank you. These are all so great, you guys. Keep them coming. Who is this from Winnipeg?
2883. Hi, it's Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Hey. So building off of what you, sort of the last three people just shared, one of the things that I heard was talking about, she said sort of talking about diving in one direction or another, and she said, on a good day, I'm right. And so she was also talking about in the overwhelm with all the possible directions, getting caught up in sort of asking questions, but not necessarily, it sounded to me like she was sort of not necessarily connecting with the what was going on in her, but also in her client when she was asking those questions and receiving those answers. And also how that's connected to, she talked about wanting to shed light and sort of that idea that what I was hearing was that she was sort of taking responsibility for having the answer on some level, that she was sort of needing to provide whatever it was that the clients were needing, as opposed to really connecting to what was going on for them and feeling the trust in her, you know, which ties back into the what we talked about around the competence piece and the compassion piece and the desire not to hurt. But sort of that trust that that you're not necessarily in charge of the outcome, and that piece you can let go and explore with your client instead of like, oh God, I need to be right, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like,
yeah.
There's such an, in a way, like an attachment to needing to get it right. It's interesting. And again, Kristen, it's always interesting for someone to listen to all of us talk about you, but I will come back to you in a second. We could see that. Did you guys see that in the end? The last question that I asked, right? Kristen and I had this kind of this whole conversation about the not being good enough, the overwhelm, like all the pieces. And then in the end, when I asked, so if this were a coaching session, what would you want to get out of it? Her first answer was, like, to know exactly what to do. Like, we had covered all of this juicy stuff, right? And so it goes back to what you're saying, Katie, like an attachment to, I need to get this right. Good. All right. I'm going to try a web user again. I'm taking someone from the UK off. Can you speak? Can we hear you? It's just not working. For now, if you're calling in from the web, I know I got someone else that was calling in, Allie, that was calling on the web, but if I can't get to you, do you want to post what you're listening in the Facebook group, and I'll read it out loud so that we can hear what you have to say. I want to hear it. Penny.
Yeah, hi, too. I was just looking at sort of the sequence of how of her saying that she wanted to be liked, and then that she has a hard time then talking about what's not going well with the client, what they're not doing right. And so, which felt to me like sort of limiting belief or a filter about how what it means to be the compassionate, supportive person is not to bring up the hard stuff. And it, so I was just feeling like there was a lot of room for just shifting that that belief into encompassing that talking about the hard stuff is actually some of the most compassionate and helpful things that you can do with clients when you do it in a way where they're feeling held and loved, too.
Yeah, 100%. And along with that how is, and this is more of a question that one might ask as a result of the listening that you just shared, was like, how are you defining negativity? That was one of the things that I was wondering about in relation to what you just said.
Right.
Like, what is that? What actually is negativity? And then what are some of the limiting beliefs around that?
Yeah.
Good. Beautiful. Anyone else? What else are you hearing? I've got a whole bunch of other things, and I'll share, or a couple of others, because you guys have hit a lot. But anyone else wants to, who might want to share or share something else that you've already shared? Gloria. Or maybe this isn't Gloria. 595.
Oh, I think it's Brooke. We're both.
Oh, hey, Brooke. Hey,
yeah,
I have so many
Canada
women.
Yes.
So I'm getting a little mixed up.
Yeah, that's fine. I just really loved everything that was shared, and I'm a little bit, this isn't a fully formed thought, but I'll speak it anyway. I really heard the beginning when Kristen was talking about how important it seemed that her client's mom was both the biggest critic and the biggest fan. And I felt that there might be something in there as a mirror for Kristen,
yeah,
or a reflection. So that just, it seemed insignificant that she shared that specific detail.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. And we'll check in with Kristen, because that might be your filter, and that might be my filter too, because that was something I was wondering when she first started talking. I actually thought she was going to go into her own relationship with her mother. It was interesting that she happened to share that detail. It may have been just to illustrate wanting to shed light, but I sensed also possibly that there might be something else in there for herself. I'm glad that you're bringing that up. We'll ask Kristen about that.
Thanks, Jana.
Thank you. All right, I'll add a couple of other pieces in for you guys to think about. You guys really covered a lot of the big pieces, but some other things that I heard. Number one, Kristen is just a very self-aware person, right? Could you guys feel that? Like, she's obviously done a lot of work on herself. She's been on a journey. She knows stuff about herself. Again, as a practitioner, that's important to note, right? To kind of know, like, where is this person in her self-awareness journey? Is this a self-aware person? Because it will help you know how deep to go. Also, it's something that you may want to acknowledge the client for. Another thing I noted is that there is probably a mismatch right now for Kristen between how she wants to be and show up with her clients versus her marketing. So, and that's because she was talking about the client's expectation of just getting nutrition education and then, you know, feeling insecure. What if she brings these deeper pieces in? Again, could be wrong on that, but my sense is that there's probably a mismatch between how she's describing her work or her ideal client or whatever it is, versus how she really wants to be showing up, which may be contributing to some of the insecurity. I heard that this wasn't explicitly said, but again, important to note that Kristen sounds like she's spending a lot of time and energy being self-conscious. And I could just hear and feel that there's just this whole lot of time, energy, and life force that's getting caught up in the self-consciousness. I heard that she's been aware for a while that there, you know, there's some confidence pieces there, and that she holds back from sharing her views and her opinions a lot. But what I also heard is that while she's resistant to taking the next steps, it feels like there's also an openness, like she wants to really get to a deeper place of confidence. And being able and willing and even happy and excited to share all of herself, to share her views and her opinions, not just with her clients, but in many areas of her life. Okay, I think I'll leave it at that for now. So, Kristen, I'm going to call you back now that we've spent all this time talking about you. Can you just raise your hand again? Star two. There you are. All right, so share with us what you received just from listening to this conversation and what really struck you. And anything that
I really enjoyed that. No, it was fun. I enjoyed listening to everyone's comments and really appreciative. Thank you. I think pretty much everything was on point. I did say the word paralyzed, though.
Okay. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I do
great.
Feel like.
Tell you were right.
Lost, like in the middle of it sometimes when there's so much information. As far as like mismatch, I think what really spoke, the two things that really spoke to me is the compassion. How, what did you say? Like when I'm telling, I'm being compassionate, so I don't necessarily want to bring forth light some of the negativity or things that they could improve upon, because I'm really afraid of, I feel like a lot of my clients have been shamed by a lot of health professionals for behaviors like, oh, you didn't do your food log, or you didn't do, you didn't lose weight this week. And I'm not that kind of person. And I also don't want to make them feel bad for it. So I'm really conscientious of that. And then the second thing that really stood out was I am a little bit mismatched between my client and my marketing. And it's something I really have toyed with over the, last like 5 years, figuring that out. Cause there's this whole, and you may have seen it, there's this whole movement towards health at every size and, getting the focus off the weight, which I really do, really do support. And this non-diet approach. But then, like, bariatric patients, a lot of times they are on diet. Like, they have to be on a, specific diet, especially in the beginning. And so I've been trying to find my message there because I believe in both. Like, I do.
Yeah.
And I've been told by both sides that I almost need to pick.
Yeah.
And
I would really encourage you to continue to find the words that are true
mm-hmm.
to you, that really – hold both of those pieces in ways that feel
mm-hmm.
exciting to you.
Okay.
It's not gonna solve all the pieces that you brought forward today, but I think that it will help in some ways for sure to know that who you're calling in and how you're representing yourself is exactly how you're showing up.
I try to do my best. I do have a pretty large social media presence. Specifically like on Instagram and Pinterest. And what's really worked for me is I took another marketing class and it was like, people don't want to eat vegetables, sell pizza and then give vegetables, when they're like, I do feel like my pictures are really what's out, what is attracting people. And so that's giving the imagery of I'm a food and I'm just focusing on the food and I give specific diets. But that's actually, it's really has gotten, and I look at that, the benefit is like, I can possibly get my message to more people.
Yeah.
But then again, you're right. It's attracting more of that,
yeah.
that a misaligned client.
Yeah. So I think it could be valuable to go back and look at that. Tell us one more thing, before we move on. So we didn't even coaching. We were just kind of sharing what we heard, what we were listening, what we heard. How was it for you? You spoke a little bit to this, but I just want to hear a little bit more. Like, did you feel seen and heard through the discussion? And how was it for you just to hear the pieces that we were sharing?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I think that I did feel seen and heard. And I think the majority, 99% of it, I thought was really helpful and accurate. And I love getting feedback. I'm such a, I love, like I said in our earlier conversation, I love that feedback. I love that constant, approval, or not necessarily approval, but, guidelines, even if it's critical, critical feedback, I think is great.
Yeah.
Whether negative or positive, I'm always seeking that.
Yeah. Good. I always like to ask that question just to show to all of you guys, like we didn't even do coaching. We didn't even do real creating awareness, but just by sharing what we're hearing, the client can take in so much. Like there's so much that's possible with the listening skills. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We have time for another practice. Well, it'll be a shorter one this time. Who would like... Hold on a second here. Yeah. Who would like to be our volunteer? Star two. We need another brave volunteer. Don't be shy. I need you to volunteer so we can do a practice. Okay. Oh, good. We got a bunch of people. Katie, thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
All right. So share with us the current situation that you would like support on.
Yeah. So my ongoing situation, I know you said at the beginning, like, we don't want it to be, like, strategy-based, and I don't want that, just to clarify that. My ideal client, which tends to be performers, they're starving artist syndrome is a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that I want to work with, I know that I have a filter of perceiving them as not having money. And I know that that's not true of me as a performer myself, as evidenced by being able to, like, pay for a coaching like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I sort of don't know how to – I don't want to educate people on starving artist syndrome necessarily. Like, that's not fun to me. But I want to help people see that there is – that it is worth investing in yourself. My practice is moving more and more towards health and life coaching for performers. And it's just something that doesn't have an immediate, or at least how I feel. I feel it doesn't have an immediate give back for a lot of them because I'm not just trying to sell them like a weight loss plan or something. I'm constantly trying to figure out how to help my clients bridge that gap. Does that make sense? Is that an appropriate thing to ask
mm-hmm.
about?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Let's see what more I can draw out of this. But yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Talk to us about some of the difficulties. I hear that the general difficulty is that people, maybe prospects aren't thinking that it's worth investing in themselves. Get into more of the specifics and the details on that.
So, there's a pervasive belief that, and it's very much taught in performing arts schools as well, that, like, you have to be willing to give everything for your art, which includes health a lot of the time, meaning you need to be willing to be at rehearsals until all hours of the night and at the same time be willing to wake up at 5 a.m. so that you can make it to the 6 a.m. audition. And in that time, you need to be warmed up and showered and looking your best. And so there's an immediacy that I feel like as a practitioner, I'm trying to actively work against it as far as a mindset within the performing arts. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to be go, go, going all the time. And I know that I end up doing that just in life generally as well because mm-hmm. this is such a pervasive belief that I also was taught. And it ends up meaning that people burn out, and it ends up meaning that they get hurt, and it ends up meaning that they end up with eating disorders and things along those lines.
Okay. Good. again, I'm trying not to coach here.
Yep.
But, okay, so it sounds to me like you're really clear on all of this. Like, I can tell you see this very clearly.
Yeah.
So, and you're very articulate. That's something that I heard. Give that away. Listening.
Oh, good.
You're very articulate. So, and I get that, you know, it's working against the mindset that they've been taught. But why are you having so much trouble? Considering how articulate you are and how clear you are, I feel like there's another reason why you're having trouble supporting prospects to feel like it's worth it to invest in themselves.
So what immediately came to mind is that I feel like in order to make the change or to be a conduit, I suppose, for the change that I would love to see in this industry, I have to become I don't want to say the face of it exactly, but like I need to be speaking out louder against it. Like, I feel like I need to do more in a way that is not me just coaching people, which is what I actually enjoy doing. So it feels like there's this pull between trying to break down and rebuild an entire industry versus just helping those who my marketing helps and finding that to be sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that answer that?
Yep. And what are your thoughts about, like, how does it make you feel, or what are some of your thoughts about when you think about speaking up more about these issues in the industry?
First thing that came to mind is that I won't get hired as much, because if you know that I expect to be treated better as a performer, because my putting it out there means that I'm expecting this, and I think that other people should be expecting this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm the one who's actually out there saying it, then anyone who hires me knows what my expectations are.
Yeah. Sorry, just because I can't help myself. Just can you sit with that for a second, Katie? That feels really big to me.
Yeah, it kind of is. I don't necessarily know that I'm a people pleaser, but I avoid displeasing when I can. And I don't know. I don't know if it will end up harming me or helping me in the end. I think it'll help my coaching practice, but that means it's like, do I have to give up my art in order for me to be able to do the work that I want to do?
Mm-hmm. How is that a pattern, that question, for you?
It's a pattern. It's a pattern in like in my family of origin. Everyone had to be nice. Everyone had to play nice. And so what that ended up meaning throughout life, generally, is that I would play nice until I was so like mired in martyrdom that I would just sort of explode in rage. And now this is becoming a bit of a therapy session, not going to lie. But I can see that it is actually, I haven't been able to see this before. I can see that this is a pattern, that stems from that playing nice feeling that doesn't, that where I just haven't reached the rage point yet, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't reached the explosion point.
Yeah, good. Okay, I'm jumping around. I wouldn't, if we were coaching, but just to get some more information here.
Yep.
This is all really great. You, one of the first things you mentioned is that you don't have an interest in helping people with the starving artist mentality. And that just piqued my curiosity. Like, talk more about not being interested in that.
Well, now I'm actually wondering if it's, I'm not interested in doing it because I'm not sure that that's the actual problem. Like, now I'm actually wondering to myself if I am using that, like, me, not other people, I am using that as my own scapegoat within my own business. And that's why
I'm not chuckling at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's lots more we can go here, but I think this is a good place. I think we got some good information. All right, everyone, did you guys actually even just notice just my curiosity, like, because of the listening skills I was using just at the end here? You know, she had said, I'm not interested in helping people with the starving artist, that I heard that there was something inconsistent there, you know, just simply by asking about that, because that's something that I had heard, how it opened up a bit for her. Of course, the rest of the conversation helped. Right, but an example of just kind of noticing something that feels out of place, right? Because that's why it piqued my interest in the first place. But all that being said, take a moment, write down what are some of the most important things that you heard from Katie. And as you're making the list, I want you to think about what are some things that you're curious about, too, right? Just like that last question that I asked her. So in case that hasn't been something that you've been listening for today, your own curiosity, let's add that to the mix. What are you curious about? What do you want to know more about? Add another question for you guys. As you're thinking about this, is there anything that you noticed that was in the client's blind spot, right? Because that's something that we want to be listening for. What's in the client's blind spot? Or another way of asking that question, what you want to be listening for, is what are you hearing in what Katie said that maybe she can't even yet hear herself? What are you hearing in what Katie said that maybe she can't even yet hear herself? And Katie, feel free to be the coach in this situation. Write some stuff down, too. What are you hearing about who Katie is? Right? Even if you've never spoken to her before or heard her speak before today, what are you hearing about her who? Who is she? And also maybe add to the mix, what hunches do you have? Right, back to listening to yourself as well as the client. What hunches do you have? Hunches may not be right, as we spoke about, but good to be aware of them. All right. Who wants to share? What are you hearing? What did you hear from Katie? Star two. Penny.
Oh, hi. Well, when she was talking about different, from both the starving artist and kind of, I got the feeling she's sort of wondering, like, can they even, they're not going to be able to pay her and she's not going to be valued. How can she work if it's all starving artists? And also then in combination with the industry that wants people to do things in a way that burns them out, they don't take care of themselves. And she has very strong feelings about that and about what would be right and how to do that. But she's, there seems to be a belief that she has that she's not, if she really gives voice to her authentic beliefs and takes those stands, that she's not going to be able to be in this business and make a living, that she'll get trounced.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're saying and what I'm hearing and what Katie said and also in what you're saying is that there's this isn't the right word, not an existential crisis, but for lack of a better word, like there's a kind of like,
yeah, sort of,
right, where on the one hand, like, you know, and one of the things you just said, Penny, is that she has strong feelings about the industry, and I would agree, so just even to pause on that, right, Katie has strong feelings about the industry. And so let's just take that even further with our listening skills. So what does that mean, right? So when I notice that Katie has strong feelings based on what she was saying, you know, what I also hear in that is that the superpower that she hasn't fully activated yet is that she could be an incredible advocate for her ideal client and an incredible change maker in her industry, mm-hmm. should she decide to do that. But there's an untapped superpower and strength in there, for sure.
Yeah.
When somebody has strong feelings about something, we also know that there may be some filters there and some beliefs, possibly, to poke at. But then to get more to your point, Penny, is like that is at odds, this like advocate and this superpower and these strong feelings are at odds with the, you know, oh my gosh, what if I get rejected for speaking out? And likely that's why one of the reasons why she's having such a difficult time, or I shouldn't say such a difficult time, because she actually didn't share that she was having such a difficult time, but we could assume there's some kind of difficulty in bringing on the client, you know, these clients for them to have, you know, that they have this mindset that they're worth investing in. Good.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who else? Who's next? Star two. Let's hear some more. What are you guys hearing? Tell.
Hi. Well, what I really heard the fight. So all of my filter is through like these nervous system dynamics, right? So mm-hmm. I really heard so much fight, but it was fight against the system. Mm-hmm. And then I heard another layer of fight around family of origin mm-hmm. and like, you know, where everyone had to play nice and like that piece of like exploding into rage. Mm-hmm. And I think what I have a curiosity and I have a hunch, and I think I'm most curious about, like, as a performer, I'm sure she's super tuned in to her body, her physical experience. And so I'm really curious about like where the spark of that rage starts in her body, like in her internal experience. And then my hunch is that once that like wave of anger gets integrated or clears, that like superpower gets found in the love that she has for the other performers. Like, that's what I was missing. That's, like, what I didn't hear was, like, what she really wanted for those folks. And so my hunch is just, like, oh, actually it feels to me like the love that she has for her fellow performers is the thing that sustains that superpower.
Yeah. I want to hear from Katie. What you're saying resonates for me deeply. I think it's brilliant. It's the fight impulse. I mean, I don't want to simplify what you're saying, but just to simplify it for a moment, like, really the fight impulse is blocking the love. Yeah. Beautiful. Good. And such a great example also of using our filters to hear more deeply. So Kel comes from a background of working with trauma and working with the body, and we could see so beautifully how she's using that filter to listen here. Thank you. Who else? I want to hear some more shares. Star 2, what else have you guys got? Don't be shy. What'd you hear? Anyone else want to share? Oh, there we go. Autumn.
Hey. I was wondering if she said a couple things that made me wonder this. One was wondering if other people would think it was worth it, the cost of working with her. And then tying that into always feeling like she had to play nice and be the good girl. And wonder if there's an underlying belief that maybe she isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that could just be my own filter, too. But.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a worthwhile thing to wonder about, and possibly, like, if it were a session with a client to reflect, you know, with the, and again, we'll look at ways to do this, with the curiosity and not need to be right about it, but kind of like a tossing it for some awareness, see if that lands. Yeah, absolutely. I heard a piece of that as well, especially when Katie got to the place where she's like, well, I'm scared that if people really know where I stand on this, that I'm not going to get hired.
Yeah.
So there, I think for sure there is some good evidence of that hunch that you have. Beautiful. Good. Anyone else? I'll lower hands too in case anyone else that already shared wants to share. Kristen.
Hi. This is sort of along those lines, and this is more of like a hunch. I'm not quite sure, but it seems like maybe she's afraid to be seen because she doesn't want people to, like, prejudge her. And have these thoughts of who she is before really getting to know her. Like, there's different layers, and she's probably someone that is not black or white about things. And so to put her in a category of, like, you always think this isn't necessarily true. And so, yeah, I felt like she was just kind of the fear of being seen and prejudgment.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about that as well. It felt to me like and, you know, Katie's a performer, and I know a lot of, like, for a lot of performers, there's a deep desire to be seen, right? And as entrepreneurs, we want to be seen. So I think there's a lot of desire in there, but I also was, you know, if it would be a coaching session, for example, there that could be a thread down for sure. It would be a fear of visibility. Beautiful. All right, let me look through my notes and see it. We really hit a lot of the pieces. I wrote down that it felt like Katie isn't seeing the full value in her own work. I didn't take such great notes on this one. I don't remember what she said that made me write that down. And I asked her about this pattern, so this is something that I heard, that just this limiting belief or dichotomy around work versus art and not being able to have both. which we got into a little bit. Oh, somebody raised their hand. Great. Who is this from Vancouver?
Gloria.
Hi.
Hey. I just wanted to add, it was probably touched on, but what's kind of stood out for me is when she was mentioning that her, like, in order to be the conduit for her mission, for what she wants to stand for, she feels like she needs to speak louder and to do more, which is interesting because that's exactly what she wants to, seems to want to challenge in the industry as well, is like there isn't a need to go. And also kind of denies what she says she actually really enjoys doing, which is the coaching work, and almost like this, perhaps this belief that that's still not enough.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Good. All right. We've got a few minutes left. So let me bring you back, Katie. Just raise your hand, Katie, so I can see you quick. All right, there you are. How was that for you? How was that to be a fly on the wall listening to people talking to you?
I love that. That
was great. Yeah, what did you really receive from that?
You know, one of the things that I've always loved about coaching generally is sort of when when someone reflects something back me, being able to hear just in another person's voice, like, how incorrect that sounds. Like, it doesn't sound crazy or ludicrous. It's just like, oh, that actually strikes me as not lining up as well. I think that it is definitely true that there are visibility issues to a certain extent, but it's not necessarily like a problem being visible overall. It's more of a problem being visible in a specific way.
Yeah, that's why I was saying the performer. I know the performer part of you is probably comfortable with being visible.
Right. Exactly. It's the activist part of me, I guess.
And that is
a pattern kind of overall of, like, coming back to that people pleasing everyone, at, like, playing nice with everyone kind of feeling. Like, I have a hard time with that in general. So.
Yes. And that has to do with the martyrdom that you were speaking, you know, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just share that, like, should you decide that it's something that you want, you may not want it, should you decide that it's something that you want, one of the things that I really heard is that you potentially have a really big mission to accomplish, like a beautiful industry changing mission. You don't have to do it all on your own. I'm sure there are other people doing it too. And if you commit to stepping into it, one of the pieces of work to get there, as well as one of the gifts of it, is going to be to start to transcend this martyrdom, anger dynamic and transmute it into energy and power.
Yeah, that is something that the martyrdom piece actually came across to me from another place in my life that I recently realized, so I'm kind of just at the beginning of unpacking that.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with you. I like that overall.
Yeah, and the martyrdom is so related to those limiting beliefs in the industry.
Yeah.
And what it means to be a performer. Right? So there's lots of connections and, I think, you know, stuff in there.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we're almost at time, or we actually are exactly at time. If you can just spare another minute, I'd love for you to just take a moment and write down, what are you really taking away for yourself from our time together today? What are you taking when it comes to listening or anything, really? Like, what are you deeply taking away for yourself? I hope that one of the things you're taking away is that you've got great listening skills already. Always more practice to be had, but the shares were incredible, every single one of them. What are you taking away for yourself? What are you seeing? What are you learning? What are you realizing? And please post what the takeaway is, either in the thread that I started for our call today, or I'll also start a separate thread on it, or your own thread, but let us know what you're taking away. And then let me give you some homework for this week. So first of all, for those of you that have coaching partners, hopefully by now you've connected with your coaching partner, you've set up time to meet, and so it's time for you to have your first session together. Follow all of the instructions. I won't go over them again now. You've got all of the instructions, and I also did a Facebook Live on it. But when you break down, you know, at the end of the coaching, each of the coaching, one of the things that I want you to discuss is your listening, right? So, you know, what are some things that you heard that you maybe didn't bring up? Ask your, you know, quote unquote client if you heard correctly. Maybe there were some hunches in there. Talk about filters that you noticed for yourself that you were checking. Think about if there are any filters that went unchecked. So you didn't discuss anything in the feedback, but also specifically with, you know, talk about listening skills. And also, even when you go into the coaching, go in with the intention, like we did today, of just really using all of your listening skills. There's also I'm pretty sure there's a worksheet. I'll double check on that, but I think there is, that I'll be sharing. This is more practice like this. It's kind of like a little client case scenarios that I've put together for you to read and like listen in just through the reading and then make some more notes on what you're hearing in those client scenarios. Anyone have any questions before we wrap for today? All right. I'm thinking about all of you, sending you all a big hug, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.